Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show number 46 of Absolutely Intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and the show this time is coming to you from Denmark, where Christmas preparations are in full swing. Now, I know that not everybody celebrates Christmas, but the atmosphere is making us feel generous, and so I promise to send a copy of the latest CD from Rivus, the three-piece band from the Czech Republic that we featured in June, to the first person who can send us a mail telling us the name of the third instrument played by the band, in addition to violin and double bass. We'll accept either of the two names that this third instrument is known as. Send a mail to contact@absolutely-intercultural.com together with your name and an address we can send the CD to. And in the meantime, let's go absolutely musical and give you a reminder of what the instrument sounds like. Perhaps you know the tune.
Pár havraních copánků a tvůj tichý smích, ve dvou jedem do spánku, jedem na saních. Cesta tam je vonavá, starý hodný pán s úsměvem ti podává bílý tulipán. Cesta tam je vonavá, starý hodný pán s úsměvem ti podává bílý tulipán. Poupátku malý něžný sen, sen ti vepsal do plátku sám pan Andrzej. Krajinou, kde nemrazí, zvoní tulipán, pohádkou tě provází starý hodný pán. Krajinou, kde nemrazí, zvoní tulipán, pohádkou tě provází starý hodný pán.
Did you recognize the tune as Elvis Presley's Love Me Tender? There are a few more cover versions on the CD, all given this unique Czech twist, and the rest of the tracks are traditional Czech songs. So, if you know the name of that instrument, then send us a mail to contact@absolutely-intercultural.com, or indeed, if you have any other comments about the show. You'll find the show notes with links to all the topics mentioned on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where you can also leave comments and suggestions. We'd love to hear from you. What have we got lined up for you this time? The main feature today is about a teacher exchange between Denmark and Chile, which started with a bottle of wine.
They said they shared actually the same sense of humour, which was very good, of course.
We'll be hearing how traditional symbols are being adapted the Australian way.
A bilby is a little marsupial.
It's native to Australia, and it looks very much like a rabbit, but it's got longer ears.
And finally, we'll be visiting Budacast, the podcast of one of our regular listeners, Drew Leifheit, who knows more than most about Budapest and the area around. So, let's start with something absolutely educational by hearing about a teacher exchange, which is not the usual run-of-the-mill visit-your-neighbour type of exchange. I'm not belittling those exchanges. In fact, I did one myself many years ago when I still lived in the UK, and I taught at a Belgian school for 3 weeks. My exchange was easily arranged by the European Union. But what about forging contacts yourself? How could that be done? I talked to Vibeke Steenberg, just back from an exchange between Denmark and Chile.
I'm Vibeke Steenberg. That's my name, and I work in Rømgård School. That's in Denmark. It's a private school, and I've been a teacher there for about 10 years now. I teach languages like Danish, English and French.
Now you've recently had quite an involved exchange with Chile. Why Chile?
It's quite a coincidence, really. Well, the vice principal of our school is interested in wine and wine import. And one day he went to Chile to get connected with some wine grocers there. And he had a contact with one. And his wife and her family had connections to a school. And that was this school that we've been exchanging teachers with, like called Job Swapping. Yeah. And, well, he met with those people when he went to Chile, and they discussed and talked, and he was introduced to the school. And they said to each other, why don't we make an exchange project, try to work something out together? And when my vice principal came back to Denmark, he applied for some money, for some economical support from different funds, because in Denmark now we have this huge interest in intercultural projects. Well, he got the money and he could send me to the school and receive another teacher from Chile here in the same period.
So there was an exchange of teachers, yes, and the Chilean teacher came over to Denmark. Yes. Do you know if your pupils had any preconceived ideas about Chile and Chileans?
Well, I talked to them before leaving and about the stay of Carlos Rodriguez, that was his name, the Chilean teacher, about what you know about Chile and what is your impression and your conception of the country. Well, I think they thought it was quite an exotic country and that maybe people didn't speak very well English there, and it's far away. I don't think they really had a clear idea of their culture, really.
So Carlos came over to Rømgård and took some classes. How did your students react to him?
Well, they quickly became very good friends. I think they found him very friendly, very extrovert, and very, well, he had a good sense of humor they could recognize from themselves. They said they shared actually the same sense of humor, which was very good, of course. It made things easier. And in the beginning, I think they had difficulties of understanding his, what do you call that, dialect?
His accent,
exactly. But they got used to it, and I think they really shared some very good conversations. And at the end of his stay, they all communicated with him without any problems, without being too shy anymore. I think they were quite proud of themselves. Mm-hmm. Some of them said they never spoke English this way before because they had to explain themselves in English. They didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. That was new to them, and when they got used to it, I think they really liked it.
And then you went over to Chile yourself, mm-hmm, and you went over for a month. That's quite a long time.
That's a long time. Yeah.
How was your experience over there?
I could talk about that for days, of course. It was fantastic. My own ideas of Chile were also that it was an exotic country, even though I knew a few things. I've seen pictures and people. Well, I think actually that Santiago, the capital, was or is like European, you could say. It's a capital city, it's modern, it's developed, it's nice. But my experience at the school was, it was very intense, of course. There were many things to understand, of like the organization of classes and the teaching, the teachers, the conditions of Chilean teachers and their possibilities in schools and for the future. I had many impressions when I was there. But I also think that I had an idea of what their reality is compared to mine here in Denmark. And it's quite different, really, to be a teacher in Chile compared to Denmark. I think they were very nice people and the students were polite, but they had also problems with speaking English with me in the beginning. They were shy, but after a while they opened up and they liked it because they also had to communicate with me in English. And I had the feeling that they actually wanted to also. I gave a presentation about my country, Denmark, to show them about the monarchy, our nature, our schools, and a few different things about my country. And I introduced the welfare system and some other important things of Denmark and Europe to them. And with the older students, I could like communicate with them and have a conversation about those issues, comparing it to the society of Chile. Yeah. That was very interesting.
And you also went outside of Santiago, the capital city. How did you find that?
It was an important experience, really. I went on a field trip with 6th graders and 5 teachers. Mm-hmm. And it gave me the opportunity to really understand the relation between teachers and students. But I also saw another school with quite different conditions. It was a poor school. We went to a school to actually help them, to give them books. Mm-hmm. That was like a project of the Deakin School in Santiago that we came from, mm-hmm. to go and give them books. They do that each year. The 6th graders, okay. Yes, it's like they have a project to help poor people, people with other conditions than themselves. Mm-hmm. They go to the north of Chile every year to do that. Mm-hmm. It's part of this field trip, you know. Mm-hmm. We went there and I saw a very, very poor school. They only had 1 teacher and 12 students from 7 to 15, I think, and very little books and no equipment at all. So it was a very important experience for me because this way I could understand the difference between private schools in Chile and like small public schools out in far away from Santiago.
We'll be returning to Vibeke to hear about the follow-up to her project later. But first, let's go absolutely traditional. You may remember that I talked with Michael Coughlin and his daughter Alison Way in Australia back in July. What you don't know is that we carried on talking, and then the topic of a Southern Hemisphere Christmas came up, and I discovered something surprising.
Are you on holidays now?
I am, actually, for the month of July, so that's nice.
Summer holidays. And we're in the middle of our winter term.
We're having a severe storm tonight.
Oh dear. I don't think I could get used to that if I cross the equator. I find it bad enough trying to get used to the holiday cycle here in Denmark, which is actually not so different to Britain, but Whitsun holiday, we used in Britain to get a week there. And we don't get anything, we just get one day here, and I cannot get used to it. I just feel it's not right. I feel I ought to be having some time off.
And of course the big one for people who cross the equator is, where's the snow at Christmas time? Or being on the beach on Christmas Day, it's the one that people from the Northern Hemisphere can never quite accept.
Yeah, I think that would be a huge step for me.
And all the images of Christmas on our cards and on shop windows and stuff are all of winter and snow. It's quite stupid.
Are they really?
Yeah. And it's 30 degrees.
Hasn't anybody found some new symbolism for Christmas in Australia?
Well, with Christmas, no. We've managed with
Father
Easter.
Christmas has stuck around and he's always wearing rugged up for winter.
We've got an Easter bilby.
Oh, what's that?
A bilby is a little marsupial.
It's native to Australia, and it looks very much like a rabbit, but it's got longer ears.
I've never heard of it. I've watched countless nature programs and never heard of it.
B-E-I-L-B-Y, bilby. And there is, I mean, a number of people now, so you will see cards that celebrate the Easter bilby coming rather than the bunny, but no, we haven't managed it with Christmas.
But that's good, because it shows that the festival is being adapted to the location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can see a picture of one of those chocolate bilbies on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. Do you have any other examples about how traditional symbols have been adapted? If so, then tell us about that on our blog. Drew Lifeheight has been a faithful listener from the earliest episodes and has often left thoughtful comments. But did you know that he has his own podcast called Budacast, which you can catch at www.budacast.hu? It's all about Hungary, its capital Budapest, where he's based, and surrounding countries. If you find yourself with a little extra leisure time over the next couple of weeks, then I would really recommend that you give Budacast a listen. Let's go absolutely addictive and listen to a snippet now, which is about the clean rooms which are to be found in the Hungarian part of Transylvania.
We stopped in a number of villages and we just knocked on doors many times because Isabella wanted to see what is called the Tista Soba, which Cifra Soba. Tista Soba means literally clean room in Hungarian. It's kind of a traditional room where peasants would keep their specially decorated things, whether it be their clothes, their painted dishes, their painted wardrobes, things like this. So it's a very decorative,
big clothes,
very ostentatious room, many times with flowers, lots of red many times.
And what's interesting that I think it was fine, it was really cool that we went to many of these rooms, because in every, if you go five some kilometers from a village to another one, you will find a different clean room, because the motivation, the ornaments are so different. And what I wanted to say about these rooms, that they never stay, never spend any time in these rooms, only when visitors come, maybe they have them sit down there.
Yeah, it's kind of what you hand them down. It's their inheritance, kind of, I guess.
Do you have a clean room, I wonder? Let us know on the blog. So let's go back to Vibeke now and see if anything else is going to happen as a result of her stay in Santiago.
So it's been a very rich experience for you, I can see. Is that it now? Is it over?
I hope not. When I came back, I gave a presentation to the teachers about pedagogic and methodology and other things that I've experienced in Chile. And I also took lots of pictures to show to the students of my school in Ruyamgore. And after that, I've been inspired to continue this cooperation, this experience with the school in Chile, because now I'm acquainted with the conditions and all the organization of this school. So now it leaves me in another situation, I think, where I could really do some work and concentrate on the work, not only the cultural impressions. And I wish to do some development of the project work that we do in my school in Denmark. I would like to exchange this experience with the school in Chile, because I think we can both benefit from it. Because we could communicate teachers and students about many, many important things regarding global development, global possibilities, and future challenges of the students. I think that we could help them a lot by continuing this experience.
So it wasn't just a relaxing holiday when you went over?
No, you can't say that. I went to stay with a woman, Maria Isabel Torres, a teacher and a leader of the school. And that was a very important experience also, because we had so many lovely conversations in her house and with her family, letting me know a lot about Chile, the school system, the culture. And it was really inside knowledge, if you understand what I mean. A different experience, like if I had stayed in a hotel, it would be completely different. I know a lot of things that I wouldn't have known if I didn't stay with her. And I'm actually going back to visit her in March and to see the teachers again. And then we'll see about the project. I'm working on it with my school.
What I like about this story is not just that Vibeke's school has built a relationship with a school in an untraditional part of the world for Europeans, but also that this experience shows that exchanges can arise out of all sorts of different ways. You don't always have to go through official channels, like the European Union, as I did. Next, absolutely debatable. If you're a university student, then there is a good chance you may be thinking of doing part or even all of your course abroad. It seems that universities all over the world are competing for foreign students, and this must be a good thing for everybody if there's a cultural exchange. But not everybody agrees. And if you'd like to take part in a debate about this, then The Economist magazine is holding an online debate about this until December 28th. You can read the different views, add your own view, and vote on whether foreign student placements are a good thing or not. You'll find the link on our blog. One last little present in this show comes under the title of Absolutely Linguistic, and is to point you in the direction of a new language learning website called Palabia, which you can use absolutely free of charge and which includes audio and video facilities so that you can meet with native speakers of the language you want to learn. It's a tandem system, so you teach your language and they teach you theirs. You can find the website at www.palabia.net. And according to the Palabia people, access to language is one of the first steps to cross-cultural empathy. To which I say, hear, hear. As ever, you can find the link on our blog. On that note, I can tell you that the next show will be coming to you from Germany on December 28th. And don't forget to mail us with your competition entry to contact@absolutely-intercultural.com if you know the name of that third instrument played by Rivas. So, Merry Christmas to those of you who celebrate it, and stay tuned, won't you?
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.